And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. That is Matthew 12 and 25. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Mark 3 and 25. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy and precious words. You may be seated. Thank God for his wonderful spirit. Enough to break any stony heart in the building or outside of the building. Thankful to God. Lord has blessed us tremendously with his presence, with his word, with all the natural things of life. And we ought to be grateful. The Lord wants his praise. That is why he made us, that we might praise him, that we might thank him, we might glorify him, because he is God. He is our provider, our protector, our savior, our redeemer. And if we fail to praise him, the rocks will cry out. Must praise him, and we must honor his presence when he comes in our midst. Must be reverent. And I am grateful this morning for a full house. Thankful to the Lord to see each and every one of you that made this effort on a Saturday morning to put aside all that you have to do and come here to serve him. And the Lord honors that. The prophet of God said that we really cannot get the real blessing from God until we make a sacrifice. And that means so much. God wants us to make a sacrifice. There is a sacrifice in coming here this morning. Sacrifice in serving the Lord. Sacrifice in doing all your Christian obligations. And let us keep doing that. Oh, we are thankful to the Lord this morning for each and every one of you that made this time to come out here, to serve him, to sit in his presence. Yes, sir. So remember that brother in prayer that I just prayed for, Brother Jasper. I think he's from North Carolina. So this morning I read those scriptures there, not taking the exact lesson that Jesus brought out about the kingdom of Satan, but I read that just to speak to you on some elementary things this morning. And I appreciate, you know, the obedience of the saints here. You know that everybody is here in your seats just waiting for the word of God, and you got everything out of the way, like I said. And that is really complimentary. I hardly see anybody outside when I walk into the tabernacle, and that is so wonderful. The Lord will certainly bless us. Whatever we put into the service, that is what we are going to get from it, Brother Branham said. So I want to speak a little bit, and if this subject will fit what I have upon my heart, I will call it Parents, Children, Pastoral Counsel. Parents, Children, Pastoral Counsel. And I want to speak to you this morning as a shepherd. Like if you are in the office. And I want to point out certain things to you and give you certain advice. This is not the rebuking message. This is counsel from the Lord. And I will try to incorporate here some questions that was written to me, especially from the young girls, children, and I will take the impersonal ones so you don't have to be all tense because you wrote certain questions. And I'm trying to bring that in there because some of these questions pertain to parents. If we just do that in the young girls meeting, then we might be short. But the parents are here this morning. Everybody's supposed to be gathered here this morning. I think we can really discuss some things. I will speak to you a little bit this morning on parents, children, pastoral counsel. And our Lord gave us some sound advice in Matthew 12:25, Mark 3:25. And he said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And that has to do with us this morning. A house, family, not the building, the family, that's divided against itself, cannot stand. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. The church divided against itself cannot stand. That is why it is written in 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, that if the bishop cannot rule his own house, how can he rule the house of God? It starts. Now, if your house is divided individually, you don't have the unity, you don't have the love, you don't have the spirit of God flowing in your home and in your lives, then you will bring it here. Think of what I'm saying. If 100 of you had a dispute this morning that is not settled, you brought it here this morning. You brought it here this morning. If you settled everything before this service and it is under the blood, that is what you brought this morning. Makes it easy for your ministers to preach. Makes it easy for the song leaders. It makes it easy for the Spirit of God to flow among us. Because it is commanded, strive to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If you committed fornication, adultery, lies, stole, you break the word in some way, and that was not corrected, that is what is brought into the house of God. That is what the Spirit of God must break through. That is what the minister must break through. That is what you and I must break through to find the Lord and find the Spirit of the Lord. So the individual homes this morning and the condition make up the condition of the church this morning. Then, if your house cannot stand because it is divided, then the church cannot stand because it will be divided. We all came from the world. We came from terrible backgrounds. We came out of Egypt like those that followed Moses. We had a Moses today with a pillar of fire. But although we are following a pillar of fire, and we are following a mighty prophet, and we are looking towards a promise of a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is represented in the land of Canaan, we yet have our Egyptian ways. And the thing that destroyed the people that followed Moses is their Egyptian ways. The Egyptian ways. Unbelief. Worshipping of a golden calf. Fornication. Adultery. Bickering. Fussing. Fighting. Corruption. And they brought that right up under the message and under Moses, and they murmured against Moses. I am here this morning to help you to examine your homes, examine your lives, to readjust your home if it is not in order. To have confidence and faith if it is in order. And this is because of the time in which we are living. And the messages that came forth, probably many of us fell very short. Maybe you need this help. Maybe you don't know that you are going in the wrong direction, that you are handling your family, handling your affairs in the wrong way, that you are leading the wrong kind of life. Maybe you don't understand what is my problem, why I cannot strive as a Christian. Maybe you don't even understand yourself as a human being because of psychological problems, because of your thoughts. Maybe you don't even understand your wife, your husband, your children. Maybe you don't even understand your pastor. You don't understand your brothers and sisters. In this life, my brothers and sisters, is full of sorrow. The estate of man from the fall in the Garden of Eden is very sad. We all need the mercy of God. Were not for the shed blood on Calvary, we will all be lost. Even as Christians today, and as much as we confess faith in Jesus Christ, and the life that we lead with all sincerity and honesty, brothers and sisters, were not for the blood of Christ, we will be all dead men and women. We do things that we don't want to do, say things we don't want to say. Yes, give advice that we don't suppose to give, and then we have regrets. We make decisions that we suffer for many years. I'm not here this morning to rebuke you. I am here to help you to examine your home, examine your lives, correct it. Bring it up to standard, because the hour is late. Anything could happen at any time. Something is about ready to happen. We have to fight the enemy. Yes, sir. We got to battle through this thing. There's great spirit of Laodicea that has settled over the whole world is a most powerful force. Yes. Materialism and the things of this world could carry us away to a distance too far away from the shore. I want you to examine yourselves and let your mind go back to find out what kind of a life you are leading as a Christian. Is it mixed with this world and part of the world? Or is your affection set upon the things that are above? Are you serving God and mammon at the same time? Jesus said you could not do it. Are you serving two masters at the same time? Self-examination. You answer those questions to yourself. By the life you are leading, what kind of a family are you producing? Are you producing Christians or hybrid Christians or producing renegades? You say, I'm an old man and I'm producing nothing. What have you produced? If you're a Christian for a long time, what have you produced as a Christian? What you are producing as a Christian, brothers and sisters, will qualify you and qualify your family for the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the rapture, or it will disqualify you. Whatever blessings that we are going to receive in the house of God here, got to start in your home. By practicing what you heard preached from this pulpit. And if you just hear the words of God and go out as a natural man until the next service, and you have your own vision and live your own life and walk your own ways, follow your own desires, then you would not qualify for the rapture. A very important thing under discussion here is, what are you trying to achieve as a Christian? What are you trying to achieve? What is your vision? That is very important. After a Christian hears the words of life, his whole affection, his whole life, everything about that human being must revolve around eternal life. If you hear the word with the right ear, you ought to have the right vision. And that vision will be eternal life. That would not play second fiddle. It won't play second place. It would not be treated in a secondary manner about when I get time. Now, if you really hear the word of God, something will be stirred down on the inside of the soul that nothing matters to you in this life again. Number one is eternal life. You will seek the kingdom first, and God will add to you what you have need of. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added to you. Now I could say that I seek the kingdom first, but my heart knows what I am seeking first. My heart tells me differently, that I am seeking something natural. And when I get through with this thing that is natural, I promise myself that I will come back to eternal life. It does not work like that. When you hear the word of God and you really believe what I am preaching and what is brought to us in the form of the message, nothing matters in this life. This becomes the most important You are going to climb up every mountain, go through every valley, pass through every briar patch.
Yes.
Fight every beast on the way. Even if you die, you want to gain eternal life. Our Lord showed us that way. Nothing mattered to him but to achieve eternal life for us. He forsake, brothers and sisters, everything in order to achieve eternal life for us. And if your mind is not set like that, you better be praying. You better be seeking the Lord. Your vision must be based on eternal life and that only. It cannot be mixed with half of the world and half of eternal life. I don't know how to get this over to you again, brothers and sisters. People think, well, I'm good as anybody. I come to church. Brothers, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something supernaturally move you on the inside, where life become the most important thing in this world. That you could fulfill the scripture that Jesus said, he that lose his life for my sake shall find it. But whosoever save his life shall lose it. What does that mean? Beloved, it simply means that you love eternal life more than this life. Do you love eternal life more than this life? I'm talking about qualification for the rapture. If you love anything in this world more than you love eternal life, you are not being prepared for the promise of God. When a man goes out and commit fornication, live in adultery, go out there, drink rum, smoke cigarettes, you take a chance on eternal life, it goes to show that something is wrong with his vision. Something is wrong with his vision. You see, eternal life is more important than that pleasure over there and whatever the world can offer us. And only if that could dawn upon people, the importance of eternal life, now that will take care of a lot of things. And when that dawns upon you, you don't even need a pastor to start seeking after that. You will need a pastor, but I'm telling you about just reading the Bible or coming to that knowledge of eternal life, a heaven or a hell, something will dawn down on the inside that you would go after that regardless. What kind of a homes do we have? Do you have a home where this vision is projected in your speech, in your living, in trying to achieve the things of the world? Or do you have a home that is being molded around materialism? Then it is not being prepared for the rapture. It is not being prepared for the kingdom of God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You must have life first. What kind of a parent are you? What kind of a children are you? What are your desires? What are your aims? What are your ambitions? What kind of an influence are you giving out as parents to your children? Is it influencing your children to eternal life more than anything else? These are the questions under consideration for every heart this morning. If it is not the way that I am saying it here, beloved, readjust it. Or the rapture will leave you. You will miss the token, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You'll be crying around the altar at the feet of the ministers, begging them to help you, and they would not be able to help you. It's a sad thing. What kind of an influence are you giving out to your family, your home? What kind of an influence are you giving out in the neighborhood? What kind of an influence are you giving out on the job? Children, what kind of an influence are you giving out in the in the schools? What kind of influence? The influence that you are giving out, is it really trying to prepare your family for this promise of God, molding them into such a place to let them know that eternal life is first? Wake up that fellow there next to you, sister. Set your head up, young man. Listen to the word of God. Go outside, wash your face. That's a good example of what you're interested in. Yes, my brothers and sisters. What kind of influence are you giving out to your family by the life you lead? Now, by the life you lead, the way you speak, the way you conduct yourself, that's the kind of influence that you are giving out. Have you, in your Christian life, given out an influence at any time in your Christian life of 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, that influence a soul, a lost soul, to become a Christian? Have you ever won a soul for the Lord by throwing out an influence on your job, in the neighborhood, in amongst their relatives? That when they look at you and they see you and they see your conduct, that they desire to be a Christian and say, I want to go to church where you go. Now, I don't want the answer here. These are the things to check out. There may be something wrong. Beloved, I believe that a Christian life, if it is lived properly, I believe that it will send out a certain influence. Now, you may not bring that soul to the church here, but wherever you go, people know that there is something different about you. In your speech, in your dressing, they will sit down and try to figure you out. On the aircraft, at the hospital, by the clinic, near the school, and you don't know what influence, how far that influence is going to stretch. Eternity will unfold some of these things. To come to find out that that day that you was in that clinic and the way that you spoke to that person or treated that person caused that person to be a Christian 10 years after. As well as that same influence might work and get somebody so hungry that they come in the next month, or the next year, or the next 2 years. Have you ever saved a soul and created a certain environment, a positive environment, wherever you went, that people know that there is something different? It is important. It is important. You are the light of the world. And a city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. You do not light a candle in a house and put it under a bushel, the Lord said. He said, but you set it on a candlestick, that all that enter the house may see that light. And you being Christians, if you are leading the right life, and you're really trying to gain the maximum from the Word of God, it ought to reflect out of you. These things are very important. It will qualify you for the rapture. Leadership. What kind of a leader are you? You say, well, I don't preach. Every one of us is supposed to be a leader sometime or the other. What kind of a leader are you in your home? If your husband is not there, he died or he divorced you, then you become the leader, you will answer for that home. If you are that man, you will answer for that home. If you are a pastor, you will answer for the church. You will answer for the brethren that sit under your ministry. Leadership, brothers and sisters, it requires God-given ability. God-given ability. It requires wisdom. It requires understanding. It requires love. A leader that don't love his followers cannot be a good leader. And he must convince them of that love. He must have wisdom. He must have understanding. And that is what is lacking in the nations of the world. That everybody wants power and everybody wants to be leaders, but they have no character. And power apart from character is satanic. No character. And you can see selfish motives involved. You cannot be a good leader. And that is the reason for all the problems in the world tonight. Amen. Yes, sir. It is because people lack understanding. My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. For true leadership, we need sacrifice. And I will tell you the biggest thing that you must sacrifice as a leader. How many wants to hear? Amen. That is selfishness. Selfishness and self-love. If you don't sacrifice that as a mother, you cannot be a right mother. If you cannot do that as a father, you cannot be a good father. A pastor, wherever you fit, you cannot be a proper leader. Selfishness, I will come to that in a little while. Selfishness, self-centeredness, self-love, all these things are mixed up in the leadership today. And as long as you love yourself, you cannot even be a proper father. A proper leader puts himself last. Yes, I never see that in the scripture. We're not reading your Bible. Jesus said, he that will be great among you, let him be the least. He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but I came to minister. I am your servant. And he succeeded. He succeeded. And he achieved, my brother, what no other leader in the whole world ever achieved. Because everything that he done was motivated by love. Now your children know if you love them or if you love yourself. Father and mother. Congregation knows that if that pastor loved them or he loved himself. You say, you mean to say it takes love to really be a leader and lead the church? Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Feed my lamb. If you love God, you would love the sheep. To be a leader, my friend, brothers and sisters, you need vision. You need foresight. You need discernment of right and wrong. And you must have a testimony. If you don't have foresight to see what is coming up ahead there before your family, before your congregation, before those who you are leading, you cannot be a proper leader. You must have vision. When I say vision, I mean there must be something that you are trying to achieve. Those that follow you must understand what you are trying to achieve. You need foresight to size up things before they happen, to see where this problem is going to end up in another year, in another 3 months. You might be leading out your children into something today, but you could be blind like a bat, not knowing the result of that in 1 year from now. You need foresight. You could be giving your children an advice today, and you could be trying to achieve something for them in this world that is according to your vision. But you don't know the danger that that poses to their souls. It will show up in a little while. Leadership, brothers and sisters, you need the Spirit of God. He cannot use our natural abilities. In weakness there is strength. Brother Branham said that. He cannot use our natural abilities. So if you rely upon your natural abilities, you have failed already. For you to be a proper mother, you got to kneel down and pray. Lord, I cannot. This is the first time I'm passing this way. Help me to be the right mother. Lord, help me to be the right father. I don't know. I never had teenagers before. Help me to do the thing the right way. Lord, I never passed this way before, pastoring, preaching the word of God, being a deacon, being a song leader. I need your grace. I need help from you. Just like a minister need that help, just like the prophet need that help, the apostle need that help. Every little brother and every little sister, you cannot rely upon your own natural abilities. You might think that you are so great as a father, great as a mother, great as an evangelist, great as a pastor, that you could do all things. You have failed already. We got to rely upon the Lord. In everything, I'm speaking to the little ones here today. You say you want to be a good child, you want to obey your parents. It takes the Lord to help you, child. And what is going to happen? You have all good intention, and by the time you wake up on Monday morning, you find yourself doing the wrong thing. Parents don't understand that. The children, they have all good intentions to do right. The devil get upon that little fella and cause him to do the wrong thing. From the time he does it, he knows that I am wrong. You've got to have understanding. All right. You've got to have foresight. We're talking about a home that is divided. I start from the house of God. Right here we got to start from the house of God. Because if the bishop don't know how to control his own house, then how can he control the house of God? That's a good place to start. Leadership. That pastor must have leadership. He must have a testimony. That testimony and that leadership must command the respect of the believers. Let us start to say, but the leadership and the testimony of many ministers around the world do not command that respect. No. And the Bible said, let the elder that rule well be counted of double honor. Now if you rule well as a pastor or an elder, then you'll be counted for double honor. The congregation will respect you. Oh yes. Your wife will respect you. Your children will respect you. Now if you as a minister is not doing right, and you don't have your house in the right way, you cannot command that respect. There are rules and regulations by which a minister must live by, walk by, talk by, yes, sir, conduct himself. And I cannot go through all of that here, but this is only serving as an example. Now, if you have a minister who do not have his house in order, his wife answers him in front of the believers, she's not dressing right. Beloved, that minister could stand over here and preach what he wants. The congregation is not going to pay any attention to it. No. His children, if his children is unruly, just like the Bible said, you could find them on the junction. You could find them in the company of unsaved people, backsliders. They are not here in church when you are here and they are living under your roof. Beloved, you are not going to command their respect. How much respect you command by your life and your testimony, that is how effective your words will be in the congregation. That is how effective. Now, if you do not, if you live three quarter way, then that is how much effects the word will have. If you live halfway and you have your family rule in your home halfway, that's the respect that you will command. Now, I'm coming to the homes. I'm coming to you. Now, if that goes for the ministers, what about you and your family? The neighborhood and all that goes with it. That man, in order to command the respect, he must rule his wife well. He must have his wife in proper subjection. He must have his children not unruly. Well, where is your son today? Where is your daughter? Did they come to church? I don't know where they went. Brothers and sisters, you don't know where your son and where your daughter is? As a minister and they live under your roof? No, they are not up to standard. If that minister will start preaching by unconfirmed reports, there is nothing to destroy your church like that. Like you have certain people bringing news to, I wouldn't even say news, I would call that report. So, bringing a report to ministers, and before you know it, That minister will take the word of God and start chastising and calling out those sins in such a way to bring people to, you know, confess their wrong, bring them guilty before the congregation, before God. Brothers and sisters, there was nothing that I know of to break up a church like that than to just hear one person or two persons and then come and preach that and in such a forceful manner, and then build your messages by these reports through the months and through the years, and conduct yourself like that. Now you will divide the church as a minister. If you are rational in your ways, arrogant, there are a lot of arrogant preachers behind the pulpit. They deal with matters in a hasty manner. Yes, rational, without hearing. The Bible commanded us to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to us. As parents, as children, as mothers and fathers, with what kind of influence are we throwing out when we do certain things? Now, this is of great concern. That is why we have certain policies in effect, that we should not do certain things, should not do this, should not do that, should not do the next. Not because you are doing wrong, but simply because what you are doing might be evil spoken of. It might stumble somebody. And the Bible said, if meat cause thy brother to offend, as long as the world standeth, eat no meat. That is what ancestors in time past, if you will recall, I say whenever a minister is dealing with a brother, or with people's problem, they need to find somewhere where they could sit down and come out of public hearing and public view. That's our policy, that's our standard. And ministers must be very careful in handling a female. You don't want to discuss a problem under a tree in a dark place. You don't want to stand up in public with a sister there for 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour to deal with a problem. There is a way to deal with a problem. Dealing with these problems does not involve coming in and out of your house, riding around in your car. It does not involve any kind of a closeness on every week or every month basis. No, there is a way to handle problems. The way to handle these problems are set out here for years, and it comes from my office. I told the brethren, find somewhere to sit down, and I also say that I have shunned my young ministers from handling certain problems that are very personal, that have to do with sexual things, in order that I may safeguard from them from the enemy. This church is run by policies, it is run by the word of God, it is run by the Spirit of God. And if something comes up at any time with any believer, and I will even tell a sister, I say, that man that you are harboring by your door over there and having a little talk, it might be casual, but what kind of an influence is it throwing out? I will quote this. There was a man riding around with a woman. And Brother Branham called him in. He said, brother, I want to talk to you about something. He said, listen to me. He said, that woman that you are running around has a terrible name. He said, and I'm afraid as a minister that you might bring up some reproach upon you. He said, Brother Branham, I tell you that we are in nothing. He said, yes, my brother, I believe that you are living a clean life, but those that are looking upon you don't think that way. That is wisdom. Those that are looking upon you don't think that way. Now let this be an example, my brothers and sisters, of how things could be and how a minister could be charged. Yes. And if this tape should go out, I want you to understand that in all the years of this tabernacle, better than 30 years, we never had anybody that fell in adultery or fornication. And this is not a matter of actually dealing with a brother for immorality. It is simply an oversight of communicating in a way that could cause a stumbling block. Now, that's the sum of the matter. And I believe that anybody that is thinking right ought to understand what I am saying here this morning. My, the time is slipping away. Can we go on just a little? Now, that kind of a church that I just described, beloved, without standard, without principle, without conduct, it cannot stand and it cannot go in the rapture. You cannot be an arrogant minister. You cannot have a lack of foresight, lack of vision. And you cannot have your wife and children walking in a certain way, and your wife especially dressing in a certain way. Yes, the church will be divided. You cannot qualify for the rapture. Definitely. You must qualify for this rapture. In order to qualify for this rapture, hear me loud and clear. Every one of you that is under my voice and will listen to this tape, no doubt someday, you must have the right pastor. Otherwise, you will never go in the rapture. He must live that life. He must have the right love. He must bring the word of God to you in the right way. He must conduct himself. Otherwise, he will stumble you out of the way. How many a man live in adultery and the whole congregation fell? You must have the right conduct. You must have leadership. All right. Always, brothers and sisters, in our correction, never take offenses. Jesus said, blessed is he that is not offended in me. And you get to button up, my friend. You might get so accustomed with that minister and you want to butt up. Little do you know that you are butting up against the Lord and his word. And the grace that the Lord gave you, he could withdraw that grace from you immediately. Now, my brothers and sisters, unless a home is run the right way, it cannot stand. It cannot go in the rapture. Some will go, some will remain. My effort is that all goes. Your effort as a man, as a woman, as a guide, parents, is that all your children go. You got to conduct yourself in the right way, naturally, spiritually. All right, it must not be in disorder. Your homes must not be like a brothel. Will your son bring in, your daughter bring in a man, bring in a woman, living in fornication in your home? You heard that many times. You allow that and you do that in your house, you don't supposed to come up to the cup for communion because you have a prostitute house. Well, I don't want to get to preaching. No, I want to talk to you. Your house is in disorder. A house must not be in disorder where children go when they want and come back when they want. They must have a certain respect. They must not do what they want. Well, went out for whole half night. Where did they go? I don't know. Who is the leader of that house? You as a man will answer for that. If you don't have a husband, you as a woman will answer for that. She was seen with an unsaved man. What do you know about that? I don't know nothing about that. You will give an account. You better find out. Because she's living under your roof. God is going to hold you responsible. It will disqualify you for the rapture, brethren. You will have to answer for God. They said, that is their business. I live my Christian life. No. You are the head of the home. You've got to know what is going on. You've got to know what you allow in your home. You've got to know that if you allow fornication, adultery, marijuana to come into your house, cussing, television, worldly music, you will give an account for that. Although you are not partaking of that. What kind of a home? A home that have these things is in disorder. It's a brothel. What kind of a home do you have? Do you have a television? Your children look at that television? Get it out of there. It will corrupt the home, my brother. Throw it out of the doors. Sell the thing. It is going to corrupt your children. Yes, they will lose confidence in you. Because Brother Bruce is standing up here and talking against television. When you go and you switch it on inside of your bedroom and you watch your television, you are killing the influence of your children. They look at you as a hypocrite. You cannot speak to them. You cannot have the influence. Your word has no power. Because they look at you as a hypocrite. Now, isn't that sound wisdom? That is sound wisdom. When your children hear not to do certain things from this pulpit, and they will see you doing it, and when they remind you about it, you will just suck your teeth. They lose confidence in you. I'm telling you, brethren, they lose confidence. All right. What kind of a home do you have? Is it a house that brawls from morning to night? Is that the way that you settle your problems in your home? Are you loud when you go home after somebody offend you? Do you speak in such terms so loud? Imagine what that Brother Bruce will preach there today. I know who told him that. What kind of an influence are you throwing out? What are you doing? Do you know what you're doing? You are killing the influence of the word upon your family. You are creating disrespect. You are destroying the soul's salvation. Yeah, the chances of it. When a little sister step on your toe, do you go home and just brawl out and say, imagine what they tell me, imagine her, and call her name in front of the brothers, front of the sister, front of the mother, in front of the father? What do you do about that, brother? What do you do about that, sister? Didn't the Bible say, tell your offense to one another? Didn't it say that if they don't hear, to get a company? Didn't it say to bring it to the house of God? And if you even have to discuss that, being a young woman, a young man, don't you have to go aside and tell your mother that or tell your father that? That's scriptural order. But when somebody will offend you in the house of God, and your mother, your father will tolerate that in your house, when you blurt out that, and the whole family will get together and talk about that, of how nasty that person is, and how no good, and don't bother to talk to her, and you swell up, and you're not speaking, what happens? That is a house that would not be qualified for the rapture, children. You are not going to get the token that way. You must be qualified for this. You must adjust that home. If the condition is in that way in the home, friends, you have to start an adjustment right here in your heart. Right now, listen to what Brother Bruce is saying. This is not a bawling out message. This is not preaching. This is a pastoral counsel that I'm giving you. This is parents, children, pastoral counsel. Listen to what I am saying. These things will conquer you. It will bring bitterness in your heart. It will bring malice in your heart. It will bring jealousy. It will produce evil speakings. It will conquer you. It will cause you not to feel the Spirit of God. The grace of God will leave you. The grace of God will leave you, children. You will get in the natural. When you get in the natural, you will start thinking about natural things, worldly things. Father, if you are condoning that in your house, you are leading astray your children. Mother, if you join in secretly with the children, without the knowledge of the father, and will be speaking secretly about the offenses of these children, you are damaging their soul. Everybody have feelings for their children, but there was a way to handle it. What kind of a house do you have? Do your house brawl from morning to night? When anything happens, there's a loud quarrel. Parents lost control of children. They don't know where they are. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what is the agenda. They come to church and the children come half an hour after, 1 hour after. For what reason? If there was a good reason, it's all right. Somebody trying to hustle from school, I could understand that. Hustle from job, I could understand that. But everybody living in the same house, and you see one come now, 15 minutes the next one come, half an hour the next one come, 1 hour the next one come, that spells out disunity in the home. It is so lovely to see a family come to church together and go home together. Yes, sir. Now, if you are that kind of a parent, whether you're single parents or double parents or whoever you are, brother, you are held responsible. Are you upset with a neighbor and you don't speak to your next door neighbor? And you teach your children to puff their mouth up when they see them? Is that Christianity? What about if your next door neighbor is your brothers, your sisters? Isn't that conquering you? Isn't that destroying that home? A home, brothers and sisters, divided cannot stand. A boy for himself, a girl for himself, father for himself, mother for themselves. Can a house stand in that way? Can we qualify to the rapture in that way? If there is division in the house of God here, everybody go in their own way. We preach what we want, and we live what we want, and we follow our own policies. Do you think you'll be here today? Let this church be an example for you. We have unity, we have love. We have one vision, we have foresight. All right, I got to hurry up here now. Why is the head of the home not commanding respect? Is there something wrong in his life, her life? Are you standing on the word, or are you doing certain things that cause your children to be in a backslidden condition? Lose respect for you, lose respect for pastor, lose respect for the word, and go into the world. Woe be unto you, my brother, my sister. You will answer and you will give an account for them children at the judgment seat of Christ. They are clear from, the blood is clear from my shoulders. I have preached the word of God in the most forceful manner that God has given me the grace to do. I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God to you. Any problem is in the home. You hear what I preach, you need to establish it in your home. This is going home time. You must qualify for the rapture. Those that were ready went in. All right, I will borrow some questions, little sisters. I will try not to be too personal. This is kind of a picking up your meeting. I'm trying to do it on a joint basis here. And I think the Lord gave me the wisdom to do it. Now let us see the kind of influence that we will throw out to our children. Let us see a little bit the psychological problems that we can cause them. Let us see the mental problem that we could cause them. Let us see the kind of problem that, you know, can derive from mental problems and psychological problems. Let us see if we have the prophet's word in this too. Now I'm taking a couple of questions here. I'm being impersonal. All right. Hear this. I don't believe that my parents love each other. They say hurtful things to each other, often in the presence of the children. I feel like I never want to be married. I don't trust men. I will never make a good mother. Is this a right spirit or a wrong spirit? Sometimes I don't think that. Other times I think that. Am I right? Unquote. Brothers and sisters, the influence that we throw out could destroy people's lives forever. Could bring them psychological problems, mental problems. Could damn their souls. Continue. Quote. Should a father walk around the house in his underwear? A towel wrap around him? I feel utterly disrespected. I have not dressed like that in front of any man. I wonder if it is my fault that he could do such a thing. Do you think that I have done something wrong to make him do those things? Unquote. Are you reading between the lines? Are you seeing, brothers and sisters, that what we do casually, without any bad intention, do you see the influence that it could have upon our children? All right, listen to these little questions that relate to the same thing. What can a sister do to prevent a male from treating her like a doormat? I remember the message on women being byproduct. Are all females foolish? I have heard some degradatory remarks about women being incapable of doing anything properly. Foolish and stupid from their very creation. Is this true? Do men love as strong as women do? How can a female know when a male loves her or only lusts after? All right, I will stop there for the time being. Now I am using this question here not as an accusation to any head of the home, but beloved, I am using this as an example to show you the kind of influence that we could throw off to our family. Should a father walk around wrapped in a towel or shorts in front of his female? The answer is no. That had been taught here many times. It don't even require a question. We know these things. I do not think that my parents love one another. Now, what has caused that? Or what do a female do not to be a doormat? I am not convinced that mommy and daddy love one another. Now, do you see the inference? On account of this, now the person don't even know that. But I don't think I ever want to be married. I don't think I want to be married. Not accusing father, not accusing mother. But then this is a separate question. Do you think I'm wrong for not wanting to be married? I don't trust males. I don't know if I trust any of them. Now, if you had been listening to my message, you had been under the word a long time, my beloved, I believe you could answer this question yourself. The influence that we throw out as parents and upon each other creates a lot of psychological problems. Yes. My precious sister, in answering this question, and a lot of them is about connected right in your first question, and that is, I know that my father and mother do not love one another. Whatever your father is doing, he may not be a criminal. He may have all good intentions. He may now come from Egypt, but he brought his Egyptian ways. He may now come from Sodom. He brought his Sodomite ways. And this thing has an effect upon you. So now this here is a slightly psychological problem. And that is why you don't have any desire to marry. Because you pay close attention from a little girl of how daddy treats mommy. And how mommy responds to daddy. And even though I try to convince you that they love one another, I cannot convince you here today. Even because this was inbred in you from a child. And you have plenty evidence, many reasons for the conception that you have. So now you see how they speak to one another. You see how they handle their money. You see how they handle the children. You hear their fusses. Now, whenever we fuss in front of our children, it is throwing out an influence. Beloved, it is molding a certain character. Whatever it is doing, it is actually creating a psychological problem. You get a hold of a man that beats his wife, and all the children will scream and carry on and run out in the public and have to sleep by the neighbor. And brother, come back. You are breeding a bunch of neurotics. And you as a Christian may not do that by beating and chasing around. And if you even do that, you are not a Christian. You have an evil nature in you. You are not born again. You do not have the Spirit of God. You take up a cutlass and you want to run down your wife. You ain't no Christian friend. I don't care what that woman does. Yeah. You say you want to threaten to shoot. You want to kill her. Yeah. You want to handle your house in such a way. Little do you know that you are breeding a bunch of neurotics. Confused children. With all kinds of psychological problems. There will never be normal people in this world. They don't know if they're going or they're coming. They don't know who love them and who don't love them. Now, you may not be doing that, friend, but you may have another method. And that method is a tongue lashing. You may have a method to deal with your children. And in dealing with them, you call them devils. You call them spirits. You call them donkeys. You call them goats. You call them idiots. Friend, you are damaging that personality of the child. You are creating a neurotic worse than the man who beats his wife. Now look at the result of this, friend. I don't want to be married. I don't think I will ever have that desire. Why? Because you have seen an example of what is marriage. You have seen a certain example of what is marriage. To you in your own world, child, whether you are 12, 13 or whatever, you have seen an example of what is marriage, and you lack knowledge of what is true marriage. What is a true Christian home? What is real unity? What is real love amongst father and mother, husband and wife? And you are caught in a net, you are caught in a trap. And this trap that you are caught into, you have heard from 5 years of age, your mother, the way she is treated, she's a doormat. Father, speak to her. You know that there is no love existing. So now, what has happened to you is a little deep psychological something. And what has happened, you feel like if the whole world is like that. All men are like your father. All men are like your mother. It has created a certain resentment towards the male. And it has perverted you. It has damaged you psychologically. You cannot be a normal girl on account of that. But you can be if you understand what I am saying. That all men are not like your father. All women are not like your mother. Yes. All men don't treat their wives like that. All husbands are not like that. So what you get trapped into the world of father and mother and the household that you live in. And you imagine that that's the way that all men are. And if that is what marriage affords, then I don't want to ever be married. Isn't that, my brother, serious brutality to a child? Isn't that a terrible thing? Shouldn't we as parents be more careful that if we have fusses as husband and wife to do that secretly? You might be justified in what you're saying and what you're doing, but it is registering wrong in this child's mind. You are damaging this child. You just sit down there and think of how many millions of children that are affected today around the world. And it results in suicide. It result in prostitution. My God, the time will fail to tell you, my brothers and sisters, on account of a dog-eat-dog condition throughout the world today and the kind of homes because of the kind of societies and the civilization and the kind of living in the homes, this has bred juvenile delinquency on a wholesale basis. It has bred rebels that turn upon father and mother and want to kill them and do sometimes. Now this here is a good example. Now sit down there, we're not going nowhere. Somebody want to go drink water, go ahead. This is pastoral council. You are sitting in the office. Now look at what comes out of this. This is a sincere letter. All that the person wants to find out is about themselves. This is a separate question. Father and mother don't love one another, I'm convinced of that. But for me, I don't want to be married. I am telling you why you don't want to be married, child. You don't want to be married because you conceive in your mind that is what marriage is about, the example father and mother set before you. You could come out of that. You could be a normal girl. You could be a normal human being. But this is what parents do to children. They damage them for life. Look at what comes out of it. I feel disrespected. Should a father walk around like that? Maybe I done something wrong to cause him to do that. You have not done nothing wrong. It's just the carelessness of parents taking it for granted. Well, I am home. This is my children. Yeah, but you owe a certain respect, brother. You owe a certain respect. Young or old, you owe a certain respect. Don't you know, mother, that you owe a certain respect to your young boys? They don't like to see you come out with your nightie and your underclothes showing. Don't you know that there was something in a male that scorns that mother when she does them things? The same way in the female, they scorn the father. You got to have better sense than that. Yes. Don't do that. You cannot be qualified or adopted under those conditions. Maybe I done something wrong, Brother Bruce, that caused my father to behave like that. You have not done nothing wrong. Maybe your father need a revival. Yes. He's a half-hearted Christian, no doubt. Maybe he don't take these things seriously as he ought to think. But look at the damage that is causing. All right. Brother Bruce, what should I do that a male don't make me a doormat? Where that is coming from? It is coming from, my brother, the lack of love between father and mother. All right. What is a doormat? Yes. You had to divide doormat from correction. So nobody go and use these terms now. That when your husband lift his voice and correct you, that you are a doormat. No, there was a difference from correction. And many a woman get married and they make up their mind that their husband will never bawl me out. I will answer him back, man. You have the wrong spirit. And he was never prepared for marriage. Some young girls go marry and they never know what they was getting into. They come to find out they have to cook and they are surprised. Come to find out that they have to wash. Me alone? You need to come and help me. They are surprised. They come to find out that they have to mind the baby alone. And that have some women have their husband with a diaper bag walking behind them everywhere. And if they are a little distance away, they call him with a loud voice and say, bring the diaper. You don't know what you was getting into. Marriage is a serious affair. You got to sit down and count the cost. You don't know what you're getting into. Yes. Husband tell you a little something, you're ready to fly out. Yes. Now I'll tell you what happened, brethren. You see, when you got a modern woman today to marry, pastoral counsel. She start going to school from 5 years of age. And when she come out of high school, she's about 18. And if she goes to university or take advanced level, is about 20, 21, 22. And you never had anybody telling them what to do. You sit down here and you don't do that and you can't go to town today. Huh? And you cannot go by the neighbor and you can't do that. So now when you get married and you have to fulfill the scripture to hearken to the voice of your husband, that become a virtual prison for that young woman. Because her foot never, my brother, was trained to abide in her own house. The Bible speaks of that kind of a woman, and her foot does not abide in her own house. And when you get people like that and they never count the cost, there was a divorce in 3 months. A divorce in 6 months, a divorce in a year. And if it lasts 2 years, there's hell in the house. I'm telling you. They would bang this, break the next thing, my brother, kick up my brother, scream at the top of the voice, even because they are in prison. Now, if you take a lion and put him in a cage, what happened? He won't try to break the cage to come out? Well, is that what I'm saying? You take one of these modern women and you bring them under subjection to make them a wife, they don't know how to stay home. They don't know how to take orders. They don't know, my brother, they don't know what they were getting. They was only studying the pleasure. Yeah? Lust carry you there. Yes, and when lust carry them there, then they start giving trouble to their husband. Oh my, I have a long ways to go. All right. Now look at this question relating to the first one. An example was set by father and mother. Is all women foolish? Are they all incapable? Are they all stupid from this very creation? No. The woman is the first one that gets smart. Can't dwell on it too much. You hear what I'm telling you? She eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil first. She's the first one that's smart. And the woman is the one that imparted the knowledge to the man. So you must put this thing and you must have this thing in its right context. She is a byproduct. Now, but again, what I am saying is that these are the kinds of assertions could be used in that home. You don't correct your children by telling them you're dotish, you're stupid, you're mad or what? You're a blockhead. Because they don't pass the exams, what is your vision? What is your vision? Because they are not bright like the next child, what are you producing? What are you producing? What is your vision? If you have the wrong vision, you are trying to get that vision in your children, and you are using the hammer and the sickle as the emblem of Russia. You are trying to beat that down into them. When they do not come up to your standard and your vision, they're dotish, they're stupid. Huh? They're mad, they're incapable. What would you produce? What would you produce in neurotic? All right, I give you a little experience. Little sister came over to me. Brother Bruce, I'm trembling. Don't you ever let my mother know that I come here. I'm stealing a chance, Brother Bruce. Please, Brother Bruce, help me, Brother Bruce. Brother Bruce, I tried to commit suicide 4 times. I tried with a rope. I tried cutting my wrist. I tried to do this. I tried. Please, Brother Bruce, don't tell her. I said, no, I won't. I said, what is the problem? He said, Brother Bruce, my second sister is brighter than me. And I am abused daily. And my mother cherished my second sister. And all that she has for me is abuse of how undone that I am. I am not fit to live in this world. Brother Bruce, I'm not fit to live in this world. I'm no good. 13 or 14 years of age. I want to kill myself. Somebody that attempted suicide once ever attempted again. Unless God intervened, it's a spirit. I never told that mother and father up to today. Because I know that if she have that kind of a spirit and she knows that that child come to me, brother, she will pick up another way of abusing that child. Yes, and you go down there and tell Bruce everything. You're a traitor, you. Oh, yes. You have more confidence in Bruce than your own mother. That child will go commit suicide because I betray her trust. She had the only friend in the whole world. that she could have come to after mother and father betray her, and then Brother Bruce went and told her mother and father. Yeah, that woman backslidden, she's no longer here. And her husband jumped over a cliff. According to prophecy, they are in the world tonight. I oftentimes wonder about that child. What is the condition of that child? 3 to 4 times. Now, these kinds of abuses, we do not realize the damage that we do, parents. We have our certain method, our hog method from Egypt, our hog method from Sodom and Gomorrah. And we try to apply that under Christianity. Millions are committing suicide because there was no love in the home. There was no love in the home. They breed psychological problems. Do men love as strong as women do? This poor child never seen love. She don't know. She never seen it. She had to ask Brother Bruce, do men love as strong as women do? Yes, my sister. And even stronger. That is why they kill their wife and kill the whole family when they go out and live in adultery. That is love expressed. They can't live with it. They can't take it anymore. They love equally strong. And the flame is supposed to be burning on both sides. But this thing has affected your mind. Yes. How can a female know when a male loves her or only lusts after her? Again, this question is relating right to your first question. Yes. When somebody loves you, you know it. There were no kind of a regulation to know that. Listen to me, if I love you, you know it. The sinner knows if you love him or you don't love him. Your children know when you love them or if you love yourself. We have a problem here, brother. What is causing all of this? Self-love. Self-love. End up in suicide. These things that I am telling you, brother, are the problems of the whole world. Yes. Love has gone out of the marriage. Love has gone out of the homes. Yes. I will tell you something here now. Selfishness and self-love is responsible for a lot of this. Where everybody seek their own self-gratification. Wife trying to extract love from the husband and husband trying to extract love from the next party. And nobody want to let go. Do you know that there's selfishness in between there? You don't love me, so I don't love you. You don't care for me, so I don't care for you. I brought up these children here, and I sacrificed all my life, 20 years, 25 years, and I don't have any gratitude from them. You have a problem, my brother. You have a problem, and instead of trying to give out your love, you are trying to extract love. And anytime you see how much you are not getting, you will be a selfish goat. And you will act that very way. How many understand what I'm trying to drive at? If everybody is trying to extract love in the house from one another, you will never be satisfied. You will have bickering. You will have fusses. Yeah. If the wife is always trying to see how much her husband loves her,
yes,
and the husband trying to see how much her wife loves her, then what happens? Beloved, everybody becomes self-centered. If I become a self-centered preacher, out here, I'll draw it by my example. I'm a self-centered preacher. Yes, instead of showing my love for the congregation, I want to come and extract love from the congregation here. And say, you don't celebrate your pastor's birthday even. But what do I care about a birthday? It could never exist in this life, mommy. Never exist. Yeah. Well, you never give a pastor's love offering. After I labored for many decades here, none of you never gave me a pastor's love offering. Huh? You don't even come and shake my hands for many years and say, Brother Bruce will love you. To me, brothers and sisters, that's a sissy. And we have a lot of sissies behind the pulpit today. And Brother Branham said, a preacher, he said, a sick seeks attention. He said, when you find a preacher that seeks attention, he is spiritual, he's sick. And how true that is. Now, that is what you have in the organization today. That is what you have in all those places. That is why you have pastor's love offering. You have pastor's appreciation day. You imagine that? Yeah, pastor's love offering, pastor's appreciation day. You are a sick preacher. Yes. And that preacher is called, brothers and sisters, to express that love. Then if I do that here, what will happen? I am trying to extract love from you, and you trying to extract love from me. You know what kind of a disarray we will have in the house of God? We will be an organization. We will be a society. We will be a people that, you know, just selfish. Now, this is a good lesson, children. This could address some of the problems in your home. We're taking it from the root. We are taking it from the root. You and your little brother don't get along. You could be trying to extract love from him, and he trying to extract love from you. What is the answer to this, brother? Let go all the love you have. Love is the greatest force in the world. Love is the greatest force. Listen to me. You let go everything that you have. You give away. Give away everything that you have. Sacrifice and do everything without expecting anything to return to you. That is a real mother. A mother will get something for all her children. And that poor woman will sacrifice and wear the rags. How can you not honor a woman like that? Prophet of God say, man, you are third place. First is God, your family second, and you are last. That is a real father right here in these quotations that I have. That is what makes a good leader. That is what makes a good husband. You are a leader. That is what makes a good wife. You are a leader to your children. Brother Branham say, you are the first preacher to your children. He is a woman. He said, and you are the fifth gospel. He said, I have four in every gospel, you are the fifth. Because whatever you live before them children, that is what they will understand. You are the fifth gospel. Yes. I hope nobody tired. Anybody to be tired should be me. And I ain't tired yet. All right. Brothers and sisters, these things cause problems. If you want unity, you say they don't shake my hand in the church. They don't meet me and talk to me. You are self-centered. Little brother, you are self-centered. Little sister, you are self-centered. You are self-centered. Your problems, your children has problems. They have burdens. If you are not self-centered, you will be able to see your children's problems in a deeper sense. You'll be able to see your wife's problem in a deeper sense. But if you only try to have self-satisfaction, you want comfort. You want love. Yeah. You want the juice come from the fridge to you.
You want your shoes clean. Yeah. You want your wife to come and tell you something nice. But you're not letting go anything. You are self-centered. This is what the world is suffering for. If we as Christians don't let go love, who will? We supposed to possess love. We supposed to send out that love, that influence is the greatest force. I tell you, love, my brother, will cause the flowers to smile. Yes. Love, brother, will bring wild beasts to you. It will tame wild creatures. It will send the bees back in their nest. It will cause the killer bull to stoop at you. It will cause a maniac to fall at your feet. That's the force of love. Let us strive to enforce that in our house. There was a lacking of love. Look at the damage. Look at the damage of this child. Friend, all kinds of questions. All these questions relate to one thing. Young lady, it relates to what you see in display of self-centeredness. No love between father and mother. Look at how the child is suffering. Watch. How can a female know that a male loves? You see, full of doubts, full of unbelief, full of fear. Because of the example. I noticed that few males ever express interest in me. Look at that. See a deeper psychological problem here. Am I ugly? I'm not interested in marriage. But I sometimes wonder why nobody's interested in me. Now you see the damage, children? Huh? Am I ugly? No, child, you are pretty. Pretty is a pretty spirit. Pretty is a spirit that wants eternal life, that wants to live clean, that wants to live holy, that wants to be like Sarah. Boy, I tell you, you ask me to point out an ugly child here, physically speaking, I don't know. Beauty has increased so much in this world. I don't know if I could pick out an ugly girl. Yes. Am I ugly? I know this child. She's not. But look at what that example caused this young lady. Huh? Watch her face in the mirror 10,000 times and could only see ugly. I am seeing pretty. But that is what a psychological beating does to you. It causes you an inferiority complex. You are no good. You are ugly. You are this, you are that. You suffer in your mind. You're not fit to live in this world. You're not fit to live in the house. You're not fit for your father. You're not fit for your mother. You're not fit for the brethren. And Brother Bruce, I'm not sure if I'm even fit for the church here. I'll tell you one thing, my child. You are fit for Jesus. Come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes. The Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. Yes. He looks for the ugly things. Let this thing wiped out of your mind. Oh, so many repairs to be done in human lives. A minister must understand these things. Otherwise, you cannot be a shepherd. I'm ugly. No, you are pretty. Few males come around me. Hear the deep psychological thing. Because you don't have confidence in the male. What is happening to you, young lady, is that when you come in the presence of male, you cannot smile. And you have a standoff. On account of that, the male looks around there and says, boy, that's a serious girl. Better not tell her nothing. So now because of your home problem, you are pushing away the male from you. It's not that you are not attractive. It's not that they are not interested in you, but you could be carrying a straight face because of the way you think about males on account of what you see displayed home. It will affect you, your marriage. And your decision not to be married should not be conclusive on account of that. It should be submitted to the will of Almighty God. Do we understand our children? Look at the questions that come out. Could I meet my mate? Could I be the rib of somebody in the new world? In other words, this, I still have a desire for marriage, but I'm so disappointed from what I've seen. I would prefer to meet them in the new world where there is no troubles. You see, all relating to that. All relate to that. Submit yourself in the hands of the Lord. Oh, the time will fail, brothers and sisters, to go through all of it. But I am telling you that these are the damage that we could cause our children, our wives. You could tell that woman how she's stupid, how she's dotish, how she cannot do nothing. Huh? She's just like Eve, she's just like Jezebel. And you break that woman's personality, take away her joy, her happiness. She'll live in prison with you as a husband because of your personality. Because of your Egyptian ways. Because of your Sodom and Gomorrah ways. And no doubt you borrow that from the home that you was brought up in. That is where you get that training in Egypt. And you brought it under Christianity. Oh, it's a miserable thing to live in a home like that. Miserable. I hope I'm not a father like that. I hope I'm not a pastor like that, children. That's the work of a criminal. You damage a beautiful life from birth because of your own ways. You might have inherited that. No doubt. From way down, brothers and sisters, from your great grandparents coming through the genes. Sicknesses. And traits travel through the family tree. And sometimes, as a human being, you don't realize how deep-seated they are. But traits, brothers and sisters, travel through the family tree. And sicknesses come through your parents many times. The Lord visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, even unto the third and the fourth generation. And you suffer. You don't realize it. You inherit a certain personality that you have to fight with all through your Christian life. Sometimes it comes through the genes. Sometimes you inherit a lust problem. A problem of high passion. A problem of temper. A problem, my brothers and sisters, of self-defense. That if you feel that you are attacked, you will fight right away. It comes right down. Now, if I did not have that understanding, the other night in that minister's meeting, it would be something different. And the time that minister spoke, I said, his evil nature got a hold of him. His mother is that way. I deal with his sister, she is that way. I deal with an ex-brother, he is that way. And soon as he cools off, he will be the kind of man that loved me and respected me.
I look beyond my brother what he was doing presently. How may he overcome this? A question. Brother Branham answering, he says, should it be, if he was the only child, cause this in his early youth? Take exactly the opposite. If you're always wanting your way, and that one little brat that wants to always have everything your way, turn right back around and give everything you got the other way. If you are a selfish and you want to hold everything, then start giving away what you got. You have got to go vice versa. That's the way to overcome anything is an antidote. He was on quote. This is question and answer 64. Brother Branham was explaining about a spoiled child. He said, and many people, it traced back because they had one child and they spoiled that child. And you breed a brat. He said, and he becomes selfish and self-centered. He said, a way to get over the selfishness, he said, take the opposite. The antidote is just to give away all that you have. All right, there was a wonderful quotation here. I must get it. Gave me a little chance there. All right, here is it. Now listen. This is how the prophet deals with people. Ministers, this is a good lesson for you. Parents, this is a good lesson. Mothers, this is a good lesson. Listen to this. Now, this young fellow's parents, his mother is German. Young fellow, unquote, he's dealing with a young fella that would not repent, that would not say he's sorry. Hear which part Brother Banner went by. Now, this young fellow's parents, his mother is a German. No reflection on the German, but there was a strain in that family. And that is why they just sit. And you can talk to them and they will just stare you right in the face. This girl's sister, the mother of this boy, her sister, I have come down the street many mornings. And this young lady be sitting out here in the yard and I will say, good morning to you. She will just look at me. And I will stop and I would say, sure, a fine morning. She will just stand, look right at you. An intelligent woman. And I will say, come up to see us sometime. She will just stand and look well. Her brothers are that way. Father and mother is that way. Paradox 63. Brothers and sisters, Brother Branham is dealing with an unrepentant boy. He went right back to the nation that the parents came from. The German nation. He said it was a strain in that family. He said, I know the father, I know the brother, I know. He said, and I speak to them and I tell them even good morning and I try to hold a conversation and they will just stand up and look at me. Hear this. Paradoxal. Now the genes in the father and the mother of this boy, no matter how much they are converted, still remains the flesh that's been interbred out to this boy. Therefore, the boy has got a complex in him, just like from his mother's family, and they are not forgiving. They will not apologize. And that's where that boy stands. Unquote. Paradox, 1963. Ministers, these things are under great consideration when you deal with human beings. When you deal with sicknesses, it go back to a nationality. It go back to a race. It goes back to parenthood. It goes back to the way that you was brought up. Anybody want some water, go out. Get some water. If you do not have this knowledge, you do not have this understanding as a minister, you will ruin the church. You are dealing with people with complexes. You are dealing with people. Now the same way that this train travel down, Brenner, and get into this little fellow, and he won't apologize. He would not repent. Brother Branham said, how much you are converted, that complex is in you. That stubborn way is in you. This will help you to understand why some of you are so stubborn. You are not beyond redemption. It comes down your genes. It travels down through the family tree. This will help you to understand why you have to fight that lust. Why you behave in a certain matter. Why you are tempted with perversion. Yeah. It is in the genes. It is coming down through the genes. You don't want that there, but it is stubborn. It fights you. You have a higher passion than the other young man, the other young woman. All right, I'm going to try to think about closing. But I know this will benefit you. Brethren, sisters, parents, the same way the pastor got to understand certain things, and I don't understand everything. Maybe I made a lot of mistakes overlooking these things. Friends, parents got to understand certain things. Mother, father, brethren, you got to understand some things with your brothers and sisters. You just cannot seek your own. You just cannot make a war because they offend you. There could be a deeper reason behind that. There could be a deeper reason why they stare at you. While they did not tell you mourning, the prophet was never offended. He learned a lesson from that. He said, I know that boy's mother. I know the grandmother. I know the father. Yes, he's a stranger that run to the family. They are Germans. They come from way back there. He had understanding as a pastor. He said, this fellow is unrepentant. He won't apologize. He said, it runs in the family. It's a complex. Oh my, I tell you, so much to learn, children. People, my brother, through their genes, they have deceit. Yes, I deal with them because of that knowledge. I say that, I see that deceit, brothers and sisters, travel up in a certain family of long standing in this church. I followed my brother for 30 years, 25 years, and watched that come up. Yes, sir. Until that money was manifested in a preacher that stand here and preach the gospel to you. Went right back in all deceit to wallow with his family. I don't say that in rebuke, but just for your knowledge. Trace that family and you will see what happens. Two young girls sit here, brothers and sisters, pious as ever. Rise up, my brother. I had to put them out of the church. They're in the States today. It's a certain deceit that runs in that family. Not everything that a minister knows that he tells you. But this is a lesson. I hear your testimony, and I remember your testimony. I remember your testimony to see how much you were converted. How much you were changed. Yes, my friends. There are complexes that runs in a family. The same thing that come down in the genes. Anger. Hate. Somebody may not know nothing about jealousy. How come a man could jealous the next fellow? And the next man could be killing himself trying to overcome jealousy. Yeah,
you travel right down from the genes. You come from a selfish family. You come from a selfish kind of a grandparents that wants everything for themselves and nothing for nobody. Nobody must prosper. I ain't going to teach nobody my secret. Way back. And then you could come, brothers and sisters, from such a faithful family. And say, Brother Bruce, that looks like psychology you're talking to us about. We want to hear the gospel. Well, here a psychologist called Paul. He said, Timothy, you are faithful. And this faithfulness was found in thy mother and in thy great-grandmother. Does it travel down? We love it. Not only the bad, but the good. Travel down, my brothers and sisters, through the genes. And it comes right down. And Brother Paul picked that up. He said, his faithfulness was found in thy mother, what, Eunice? Right? And another woman, what was her name? Naomi or whatever. Lois. And he traced back three generations to compliment Brother Timothy for his faithfulness. Does it work like that, Brother Bruce? Boy, I tell you, it travels down. Yeah, you call that, brother, a chip of the old block. Strains in the family. Yes. Now, that's the same way a murderer's spirit traveled on from Cain. And they come to find out that these murderers, my brothers and sisters, brought a gene from way, way back from their forefathers. But they stopped short. The first man that had that murderer's spirit and the murderer's genes was Cain. So that gene, brothers and sisters, come down. They know that they travel down in the genes, but they never took it far back as the Bible took it. That is why Jesus take it back. He said, if you are father the devil. Is that right? He was a murderer from the beginning. Come on. And he abode not in the truth. He said, the reason you're a murderer is because your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was a murderer. And it traveled down through the genes. Yeah. Look at a man that paid tithes, brothers and sisters. Levi paid tithes in Abraham's loins. And Brother Paul caught that in his spirit. He said, your father was a great tithe payer. Yes, sir. Abraham was a great tithe payer. That is why Levi paid tithes. Mingy old dog that is afraid to pay your tithes. Maybe you come from somebody that loves a lot of money. Yeah, they tie the money in their waist, they won't give nobody nothing. So it's a complex. I will tell you this, my brother, you will live above that complex because you're a Christian. But you will have to fight to keep your head above the water. That don't mean to say that you would not be purged from that, friend. That is in the gene. It is in the gene. That lustful thing, you will be an old man. And that thing still bothering you. Because it came from your grandfather that was like a bull in the savannah. Yeah, that spirit is the spirit that actually traveled down. Yes, it gained a certain hold on that family, the human race. Yes. So that is why you have problems sometimes. You are a healthy man. A healthy woman, before you know it, your son start getting perverted. Your son start looking for boyfriends. And your girls start looking for girlfriends. Friends, you better be careful. You got to understand, I got to jump over that. So now you will have children highly passionate. You will have children that desire marriage. Friends, and what will happen? They are burning up in their flesh. They are burning up with lust. Fire in their bones. Yes. And you will have problems. They will pick out a brother in the house of God that never tell them nothing. And have all hopes that they're going to be married to this brother. There's something that works in the mind. When your children come up to a certain maturity, I will tell you what happens. Now those are hormones that is secreted in their body over here, my brothers and sisters, that at a time of maturity, them hormones start influencing the mind to make them think thoughts that they never thought, to create desires that they never had before. These are the things that I wanted to talk to you young ladies about. But then we are right in place. Your parents got to understand you. So these are hormones that is in the body secreted from that gland at 12, 13, before that, if you notice, you never had no problem with them. Unless they get perverted when they were small. Yes, sir. So you find you have children perversion. You have oral sex going on at 5 years of age, 3 years of age. They will try something. They are playing games. It's a game. So they start playing homosexual game. Yes, lesbian games. Right in your home and you don't know. You need wisdom. You need understanding. You need to spy on these children. Don't live like, you know, lost something in the world. You got to know. In this age of Sodom and Gomorrah, these little children, homosexuals. Oh, the time will fail to tell you about the experiences. Yes, and the things that I had to deal with throughout in the ministry. Yes, of what happened to good young men, good young women. Yes. Perverted. Yes. Fornicators from 5 years of age. It's the devil we are dealing with. It's the age that we have come up to. It's Sodom and Gomorrah. These spirits are loosed upon the earth. Yes. Your children today, young ladies, young men, you got to fight harder to keep that lust and passion under control than we, that last generation, had to fight. Yes. Big man, and we don't know nothing about that. 15, 20, 25 years, and you know nothing about that. You don't even think about marriage. I myself was married. I married at 24 years of age. Yes, I waited 4 years. Yes, 4 years before I get married. Yes, after meeting my wife. He was 23. Well, brothers and sisters, they're not like that today. As a father, you got to understand. As a mother, you got to understand. Fire is burning in the bones of these young children. Instead of looking at them there and abusing them. You ought to be loving them children. Speak to them with understanding. Mothers got to speak to them with understanding. They are flesh too. They have a hope of marriage. Same thing with the men. They have a hope of marriage. Yes, but they cannot go down there and run down a boy and say, hey, I want to marry to you. They got to wait. They got to pray. They got to seek God. They are human beings too. These temptations are in them. Their passions might be high traveling down from them genes. You might have a daughter that don't care nothing about marriage. She's coming down from another gene. But this daughter, and you yourself, excuse the expression, but you yourself at 14 years of age might have had an illegitimate child. Maybe you was running around with three men at the age of 17. Here is your child, 18 years of age. And what is happening? You have them under the word of God, but that fire is burning in their bone. It is coming down through the genes. Maybe you come from a prostitute mother. Your great-grandmother, no doubt, was a real prostitute. Oh, life is full of sorrows, children. Life is full of sorrows. And that keeps traveling down. Yeah, the Lord, they are trying to hold themselves up. Their hope is to get married. Yes, they're suffering their mind. Up to now, a boy did not ask me to marry. Oh, I'm just going on like that. I am 25 years of age. I am 30 years of age. And I'm just waiting on the Lord. Oh, sister, you have to live on your knees. You got to live in the world. You got to have eternal life as your focus. Yes, that is your temptation. God knows all about it. He knows all about this. He is sending you through this grind, through this mill. He will make you pay for that salvation. He will allow you to be tempted. You've got to prove that you love him more than anything else in the world. That's your portion. Same thing with a young man. trying to get a young woman in the church. It doesn't seem like nobody's interested in him. Nothing is wrong with you, my brother. That is the hand of the Almighty. He's testing you. He's trying you. Understanding. And all that getting, get understanding. A pastor cannot run a church until he has such understanding. You cannot run your own home. You cannot deal with your own children until you have such understanding. Yes. Don't you know that when a child come up to that place of 13, 14 years of age, young lady, don't you know their moods are changed? Don't you know their desires are changed? Don't you know their desires and everything are fouled up at that age? And don't you know that something happened to them that disturbed them psychologically, mentally, physically? You have any idea? Many of you know about a woman reaching to the age of 45, 50 in the menopause, and then she behaves mad and half crazy and want to divorce and find somebody to love her. But some of you don't know that when a young girl come and she reached to that age of maturity, she had that kind of a madness too. And you don't understand that. Yeah. And here is a menopause woman trying to put down the next one that now going up the tree. One coming down the tree, and the next one now climbing up the tree. You hear what I'm saying? And this is two mad people fighting, you know. I'm telling you. So if you don't understand that child, you pick up a piece of wood and try to straighten it out. So now you see what is happening here, brother, is that child wants to go right. That little brother wants to go right. But then this thing in the genes, it is pounding, 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 fire in the bone, fire in the flesh. The Bible advised that if you cannot contain, then marry young man. Marry young woman. But there was a difference with the young woman. Yes, you got to wait and trust the Lord. You say, Brother Bruce, I am in that category. I am 25 years of age. I've become 30 in Bethlehem. Sometimes they get discouraged. They want to go out and get an unsaved man. Don't do that. Life is more important than that. Beat your body and bring it into subjection. Fast, pray, seek the Lord. Don't get out into masturbations. A little question come up there, Brother Bruce. What is masturbation? You see, we're not teaching our children home. If you don't know what that is, little fella, don't try to know what that is. Forget it. Yes. It is self-sexual pleasure. By fondling the private parts. That is what that is. Get away from that. Young people should not do that. Married men do that. You're a sinner before God. They're shaming you. Young girls do that. You should not do that. No. Little question come in here, Brother Bruce. I committed fornication. I kiss a girl. Forgive me. And you did not put your name. You need more than that. You need counsel. You don't confess your sin from a distance without a name. Come to the office, young man. You need counsel. Brother Bruce ain't going to whip you. He ain't going to beat you. He ain't going to send you to the pulpit. I am here to counsel you. Yes, fire in your bones. Yes, your pastor understands that. Yes. What do I do, Brother Bruce? Tell me what to do. I'm suffering this. It doesn't seem like there is a hope for me in this life. I will tell you the secret of it, child. Take your will and surrender it to God. Just like Jesus said, as much as he wanted to get away from that cross, as much as he did not want to go through the crucifixion, as much as he did not want to go and take all that punishment, and he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to go there, Lord, but not my will, but thine be done. And with all your desires, all your aims, all your visions, and everything that you want in life that you think that you so badly want to be married, child, take that as a young man, as a young woman, and put it in the hands of God. and say, Lord, if that be your will for me, let it be done. And if it won't be that way, give me the strength and give me the courage to live this Christian life. Eternal life is more important. Yes. Now, if you want to fulfill your own will and your own desire as a young man and as a young woman, you will fight so much to have your own way that when you don't get that boy, you want to commit suicide. You don't get that girl, you want to commit suicide. That's your own will that you are trying to fulfill. You don't fulfill your own will. You'll be so disappointed that you will go nuts. You get mad. You break down your mind. You get in a nervous breakdown. You must never build up your hopes on nothing in this life. Yes, you ought to commit yourself in the hand of the Lord and always pray. Lord, if that is your will, give it to me. Don't pick out a boy in the house of God and just build up your mind that you're going to be married to him tomorrow. When he take another woman, you'll be terribly disappointed. Don't pick out a young girl and say, I'm going and get her. Beloved, when that girl go away with the next man, what will happen to you? That is when we walk in our own self-will, our own ideas, beloved, our own desires. Let us quit. Young people, quit. Young man, quit. Big people, quit. Come down to the place. Lord, your will be done in my life. Life is too important. I wouldn't trade it. You will get discouraged when you don't get that man, when you don't get that woman, and you will go out and commit fornication. If you have a disappointment in life that makes you feel that you don't want to be married in this life, you stand in danger. What danger, Brother Bruce? You could have a partner committing fornication but don't want to be married. Because you don't want the yoke that your mother had, but you want the pleasure. Closing, let the musicians come. Life is full of sorrows, children. Life is a terrible thing. You have to handle it right. Otherwise, you destroy yourself. You destroy your children. Destroy your brothers. Destroy your sisters. Destroy your mind. Yes. You could destroy your mind, brothers and sisters, and still be saved. What did profit a man? When you do sum up, brothers and sisters, all the glands will be removed from your body. We won't have the need of none of these natural things. You won't even know your wife as a wife, husband as a husband. They will just be a special brother and a special sister. And take the counsel of Brother Paul. I wish that all be as I am. That the virgins remain virgins and the men remain men. For they that marry us, they never marry. And such shall have troubles in the flesh. The devil show you the pleasures that you will have and the nice time you will have. Now let me tell you something, friend. The pains and the sorrows that goes with a family, the devil won't show you that. You don't know. It's a sad thing. You're a happy, single, and disengaged young woman. Serve God with all your strength. A man, serve God with all your strength. When you get married, there's a different case all entirely. This is the time to center your mind upon the Lord. Give him all your strength. Give him all your service. Commit your will in the hands of God. Say, Lord, I want to serve you with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my mind. It's a total surrender. So all is not lost. Tomorrow morning, young lady, the Lord could send the right boy to you. You don't give up in your mind. But don't walk in your self-will. Young man, the Lord could send a sister to you. Let me tell you something, children. You might run behind a boy and attract him how much you want. If that is not the will of God, it will do you no good. If that is not your correct mate, it will do you no good. It will have divorce, you will have fight, you will have quarrel. You don't go after beauty. You don't go after matching color and color, height and height, size and size. You got to get down on your knees. Yeah, you could be rapping for somebody that now come in here, and you could get an AIDS patient. Listen to your pastor. Come the right way. That is why I'm so careful. There are a lot of things that goes with it. You could get a person that something is traveling down in his genes through sickness and personality. You could have troubles. Life is full of sorrows. But brothers and sisters, Christ is the answer to all the sorrows of the world. Only if we will obey, only if we will trust him. I trust this little lesson help you and help you under the sound of my voice. Oh, there is so much more to say, children. But I feel like I have spoken to the young ladies in this office today that I would not have another meeting with them until later. Because I wanted to speak to the parents, I wanted to speak to the pastors, I wanted to speak to my brothers and sisters. And always remember that somebody, my beloved, cares for you. Remember that somebody understands you. Because Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And he forego marriage in order to get your salvation. You might have to forego marriage. You might have to forego a lot of things in order to gain eternal life. But it will worth it all, my brothers and sisters. On that day, it will worth it all. And always remember, as hard as I brought you out, my beloved, that you have a shepherd that understands you from the inside. That understands you, my brothers and sisters, your cares and your faults, my brothers and sisters, and all that goes with it. I'm interested in one thing for you, and that is eternal life. And if you do not have that vision, you have heard enough today to gain that vision. Yes, let us sing a song. Let us stand.
He journeyed up the mountain
where winding
trails are steep.
He was the vision shepherd.
He was the vision shepherd.
Lord, lead them
Of love and brotherhood.